Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, Balancing Business and Mental Well-Being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hi everyone, my name is Jody. I do go by Geet, and I am a author. I cover mental health in my romance books, and I will be talking a lot about mental health in a workplace today.
Okay. Yes. You speak about mental health in your books. So what kind of books do you write?
So I write romance novels, and most of my characters, well, almost all the characters in the book are Punjabi characters due to a lack of representation of Punjabi culture in literature.
Okay. You might have to get a link to one of your books later, because that's like the only type of book I read.
Perfect.
But so what made you decide to start putting mental health in your book?
I'm very passionate about mental health. I think it is something that a lot of people in our, like my generation and the upcoming generations, talk about more than the previous generations did. And I suffer with anxiety and PTSD, so it's something that I definitely am wanting to. Basically, when I started writing, it was like a way of healing. So everything that I learned, I like to put it in my books. So here and there, you'll see like a quote that might stick out to you or something, but that'll be from my therapy session. It'll be something my therapist told me that I want to share with everybody.
Okay. You said you wanted to talk about mental health in business.
Right.
What happened?
So, long story short, I guess we do have time for a long story. So I got hired in July of 2024. It's finally February. I feel like January took forever. So 2024. And the person that hired me was somebody that was a friend. We had met at a yoga studio, and I was jobless, and she was the CEO. So she took me on as the HR assistant, and I'm working perfectly fine, all this. Then I realized that, like, hey, I have a master's degree and I'm the least paid person here. So I kind of wrote to her like an email that says, hey, I have a master's degree. I'm the least paid person. I would just like to be treated as equal as everybody else, because people without a bachelor's degree are making $30 an hour, right? And I was making like $18 an hour, $20 an hour after the 3 months ended. And everybody else, like even without a BA, were making $30 an hour. So I asked to be treated equally. I sent that email out, and that response was a disciplinary warning. So imagine my surprise when I opened my emails just asking like, hey, can you treat me as equally as everybody else? And imagine my surprise when it's like, here's your warning, like a written, this is your level one. It's not even, hey, I'm giving you a warning. No, here's your discrepancy. So I was really surprised by that. And I kid you not, in the email she wrote, you didn't want to break a nail. And I'm like, girl, you don't pay me enough to get my nails done, first of all. But I didn't say that to her, right? I didn't actually say it, but it was wild. And then recently they wrote me up again because there was like typos and stuff, and I fixed those typos. So I kid you not, actually today, February 1st, I went into the Google Drive of the workspace and I clicked the little clock that says edit history. And so they wrote me up January 23rd. And January 27th, they fixed like the template and everything. And when I was there doing the offers letters, they're like, the template is wrong. And I'm like, this is the template you guys gave me, right? So I took a screenshot of when of the edit history. So when it was edited. So it was like, yeah, that was a setup, obviously, right? So there's a lot of pressure for me to quit, which I have written my resignation letter, but I haven't sent it. I want to see what they do. So thankfully, like yesterday, I was able to be lucky enough to get another job offer. and it's part time, so I'm thinking I can do both jobs, but at the end of the day, let's just see what they do.
You got written up for saying, hey, everybody's making more than me and I have more degrees than them.
Yeah.
Your friend even talking to you?
No, I wrote it in email, so I have it as written documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right now I kid you not, like this weekend, the past weekend and just like these past weeks, I've been going through all my emails and just downloading and downloading and downloading because I'm like documentation after documentation. And my therapist, he, like I mentioned, I suffer with anxiety and PTSD. So he did write an accommodation letter that says I have, like, she has to work remotely. And the thing is, we've been working remotely for 6-7 months. So it's not like the job can't be done remotely, right? So now I'm just like trying to figure out what is going to happen if they refuse the accommodation letter. Like, what happens after that? You know, stuff like
that. Are they trying to have everybody go back to the office?
And that's what the email said, that all admin work will be done in office now.
Okay. So I approach mental health maybe a little bit different than a lot of people nowadays do.
Yeah.
Probably because I've had to silently just deal with it for a lot of the times because of abuse and different things like that. So I understand that anxiety can be a all-consuming thing. But at this, and I understand that working in that environment, especially if they're going to write you up for stupid stuff, may not be the best choice. Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
There is a such thing as not too far, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to do it until you're like in the hospital. That's how bad it got. But
yeah.
You want to be outside of your comfort zone. I'm not sure about anxiety keeping you home from work. Look, this is me. I work from home, right?
Well, yeah.
I have my own business and this is how I do things because I do have problems with working in a place. Mostly right. Mine is I can hear everything. So I know every conversation going on around me. And that doesn't usually lead to me being able to get things done. How did your anxiety work for you against you?
So it falls in with the PTSD, which like I don't want to get into too much detail about. But my therapist is the one that said like, hey, she has to be remote. Like with the PTSD symptoms and with the anxiety symptoms and depression, like she has to be in a familiar kind of environment. And then we're going to reassess her. And then she can do this and that. So with that being said, like I have that letter and I've had that letter since the letter says January 15th on it. And I was like, oh my God, like I need to give this letter, but I don't know what backlash I'm going to get at the end. Right. So I'm just thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this letter on Monday. And that is the plan, to give this letter on Monday. Right. When I meet with the new, cause I have a new manager. It's just like HR is only two people. It's me and whoever the manager is. And I'm going to give it to them. See what they do from there, and then just go on a mental health leave. If I have to go on a mental health leave, because our company doesn't have PTO, they don't give us dental, they don't give us vision, they don't give us paid holidays. PTO is basically personal time off, not paid time off.
So if this was happening in a company that wasn't kind of ran by a friend, how would you handle it differently?
I don't think I would handle anything differently because I'm not friends with her anymore, right? Since that first write-up, I haven't really been friends with her since then. But here's the other thing. Everyone in the admin department is friends with her. She wants to keep those people around. Just yesterday, January 31st, 2025, I had a meeting with a parent. And the parent said, I complained about the BCBA because we work in the ABA field. So she said, I complained about the behavior analyst. And what the CEO did was that she, instead of addressing the parent and concern, she kicked her and the BCBA, CEO and BCBA worked together to kick the parent out. So then they don't get services for their autistic child.
It's sounds kind of like somebody needs to report something in that place, because it doesn't seem like it's on the up and up.
Oh, no, for sure. I'm waiting until, like, I'm set to leave, because that's why I'm documenting everything. But as soon as I leave, I'm going to block their numbers, I'm going to block their emails, and I'm going to be like, bye.
Okay. Are you going to report them anywhere so that...
I don't know if I want to admit that on a podcast, but yeah, okay. Eventually.
Well, this isn't coming out. This isn't coming out until the summer. So, like, there's plenty of time between now and then.
Oh, no, but, in the summer, I should definitely be out of here for sure. In the summer, yeah, no, yeah. In that case, yeah, they'll be reported by then.
That's what I meant. Like, this is not coming out in 2 weeks. Okay, yeah, this is like, in. This is coming out later.
Yeah.
When we're done, before we're done here, I'll make sure I get you the date of when it's going to go up. But it's not until like June.
Okay.
I think end of May, June, something like that.
Oh yeah, you're definitely in that case. Yes, I do plan to call like Better Business Bureau and like the people that are funding them and stuff too, and be like, hey, I'm getting. A lot of parents complaining about racism. I'm getting parents complaining about this and that. However, like, I did promise the parents confidentiality. So I'm not going to be like, here's all the paperwork and here's everything that they said, you know, like all that. But I can, if I need to write
like the process so they can
write a little report that says, this is how many people I've talked to. This percentage of people have said that they have faced discrimination at this company.
Especially with people getting kicked off services they need, that's not...
Yeah, and the mom has complained to her insurance because they're through, like, Catalyte, which is Kaiser, right? And they even set it up, so then the analyst that they complained about was getting the emails from the insurance. It was going straight to her, and then she was like, why did you email them, like, this and that? It's like, oh, my God. So they set up things to... play in their favor.
Yeah.
So it was like an hour long conversation yesterday, over an hour. So thankfully I have the workspace meets workspace, and now Google Meets introduced Gemini into the meet, and I'm so thankful for that, because I click it and it'll take all the notes. So yesterday when I met with the parent, Gemini was literally transcribing everything that was being said. So at the end, I'm like, I can be like, I can blur out the person's name and be like, here you go. Like, here's everything. Because I did say, you know, I'm not going to say who you are at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So the new company that you're potentially going to go to, how are you hoping that works out?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be better because it's different. It's in person. And here's the other thing, like backtracking a little, because she also cut my hours. Literally the day that I said I want to be treated equally, she cut my hours from full-time to part-time. So what I did December 5th of 24 was file for unemployment, because when you cut hours, you can file unemployment. And then unemployment will call you to do like that interview and stuff and like verification process and everything. So they called me January 17th. And if I'm correct, I think. So, yeah, they called me on January 17th, and I was like, hello, and just, like, doing everything. The guy says, you refuse to go in person. That's what she put in December. I told him, I said, I have the email that says we are to return to work in February. We got that email in January. How can I refuse to go in person in December when I got that email in January? So she lied on the paperwork too.
Sounds like a wild working place, and I'm hopefully you get out of that and get into a better place quickly.
Oh yeah, definitely. A lot of people, like, when I'm documenting and when I'm telling them, they're like, are you gonna sue them? And I'm like, sue them for what, like harassment?
I was like, well, it's actually, it's called a toxic work environment. You can sue them for that. You just got to get an employment lawyer. I would look into that from everything you're saying anyway.
Yeah, especially like, not even just me, but I shouldn't have this many parents needing HR. And conversations lasting over an hour, it's just like, bro, what is happening? And here's what's crazy is they one company actually is taking away funding. They're still funding, but they're not funding as much as they used to. And I didn't believe in psychics and stuff, but one psychic did tell me like you need to stop looking like start looking for another job because this company is about to lose a lot of money. And that's exactly what started happening. And I was like, oh my
Kind of
gosh.
don't need to be a psychic to say that, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of the writing is on the wall, believe it or don't, but I don't
No,
think
yeah.
a
The thing
psychic
is
is
that
exactly necessary.
she told me like last year in 2024 is when the psychic told me. And then everything, like the funding and everything started happening like later. And I was like, okay, weird, but accurate.
Okay. So, how have you grown with your mental health over the last, I don't know, 6 months?
I think with the with my mental health, I've kind of learned to not trust people so easily. You know, I think that helps me setting my boundaries because I used to be such a people pleaser and stuff like that. So setting my boundaries definitely helped. Being open about my mental health, communicating what needs to be communicated, you know. And even now, well, with the new HR manager, I feel like I'm able to communicate more because he has shown more empathy, right? But I still don't trust him because, like, my first write-up was from the CEO. The second write-up about having like two typos that I like fixed, right, was from like the previous HR manager. Now this HR manager, Parker, is my previous HR manager, Morgan's brother. So I can't be like, oh, the previous. Everybody in the part in the admin department, like admin manager, admin assistant, HR manager, CEO, BCBA. They're all besties with each other.
That sounds nuts.
And that's why they want to kick me out because I don't like kiss the CEO's ass. Like, I don't kiss Nina's ass, right? Everybody else will. I'm the type of person to be like, excuse you, this is wrong. And that's why they're trying to kick me out because I'm not molding the way they like, I'm not shaping the way they want to mold me into be a bad person, technically. I can't, it's against my conscience, you know?
So, what are your next steps?
So I think my next steps basically like are to do research, how you just mentioned, do some research, keep documenting everything, reach out to more parents if it comes to that, reach out to our RBTs and say, hey, have you faced discrimination? Have you faced harassment? Because two of them actually worked on the case of the parent, like some of the parents that I've talked to, and one of them literally said, keep me, like she sent an email that said, keep me out of your drama. To the admin team, because what the BCBA did was like to the parent that was the one that I was talking to. One of them was black, and our BCBA said, "Oh yeah, like so and so doesn't have any more hours, so she can't come to you, or that she's leaving the company, this and that." So then the parent obviously has like the phone number to confirm, "Hey, can I still come in? Are we still having session?" And so the parent was like, oh, I didn't know that you were leaving, like this and that. And this employee goes, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not leaving. So then she emailed like Nina, she emailed like the admin department and was like, keep me out of your drama, basically. And I guess they got scared from that email that she was gonna leave because she's like a good employee. So instead of saying, hey, you know, keep your mouth shut, they promoted her. And not, instead of her leaving and something, they just promoted her.
Okay. So, where are you based out of?
I'm based in California.
Okay. Yeah, California especially has a bunch of employment laws that could catch these people up from what I understand. I am not a lawyer. I do not know how to be a lawyer. I do not want to be a lawyer. I
Right.
am just saying that it is something to look into. I've seen those videos of people from HR going, this is not how to respond to an employee. And you kind of have some of those responses happening. So I would look into it.
Yeah.
Again, that comes out of my own personal opinion and not anything else.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to look into it because I'm giving my accommodation letter on Monday. So I'm also going to look into disability, not services, but disability accommodation lawyer, accommodation advocates. That's the word. Yeah. Hey, what are my rights? I'm going to send this letter and I want to know what my rights are about everything as well. And regardless, I'm still going to tell them like, hey, I reached out to that. I know this is dated for the 15th, but I wanted to reach out to, and I will tell them too. I wanted to reach out to know my rights and stuff before I submitted this letter, because if anything, if I faced any backlash, I wanted to know what my rights would be. Yeah.
That might be waving a red flag in front of your employer if you say that, but it might need to be said at the same time. So it's kind of one of those. But just remember to document everything. Covering your butt is a number one at this point, because you never know what they're going to say.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is a lot of people nowadays, and I think this is something that I like as like HR and stuff, like you get the resumes and stuff, but your next employer doesn't really know who's worked there and who hasn't worked there. People leave all the time, right? So for me, I don't plan to use, like I will write, like, because I've been at this company for so long, right? I will write that I like on my resume. But like I said, like my manager's changing and this and that. So instead of putting like your manager, you can always write like someone else too, that's in the company too, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be your exact manager, because like I said, I went from three different managers. That's, oh, this person's moving here, this person's doing this. So I'm like, okay, just, I need someone that will answer the phone call at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a manager. It could be a friend that you are with at this company. It can be a friend from an old company. It could be like somebody that you are just acquaintances with.
There is a rule of thumb. I think it's a rule in all of the U.S. I know especially it's probably a rule in California, because, you know, California is California. And they put extra rules on everything. Again, not a lawyer of any kind or whatever. This is just personal knowledge that I've gotten from people. My knowledge. I don't know where I got it. I just have it, right? But I do know that if you're a new company calls the company you're either currently work for or you have worked for in the past, they are not allowed to say anything but that you work there. But they're not allowed to say anything bad. That usually ends up being that they were perfectly good in the position we ended up putting them in, which is you're obviously leaving. So that might be kind of a response, but they literally are not allowed to say anything bad. They just have to, they have ways around it, but they can't go into details is what I mean.
Yeah, you're the second person to tell me that. I did not know that, but you're the second person to tell me that.
Yeah, I got fired from Walmart way back in the day. And when I went to get hired at the next place, they were like, I had a friend tell me, remind me, Walmart can't say why you were fired. Although I got fired because I wouldn't let somebody copy a professional print. That thing that's illegal for you to actually do, I wasn't willing to get a fine. And when they left, I was like, why do they got to come out of the woodwork when I'm here? And they ended up hearing me. Because people are stupid, and they got mad.
Where are you based in?
When I got fired, that was Maryland. I am now in Arkansas.
Okay.
I have been to or lived in every state in the U.S. except for Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's tiring. It's a lot moving.
Just like having been to all 50 states, it's amazing, yeah. Well, I mean, all 48 states. For now, yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we switch topics?
I don't think so. I would just say, like how you said, CYA, that's what my therapist told me. He said that in his law and ethics class, the number one thing you learn is CYA, which is cover your ass, which is exactly
everybody
what I'm doing.
Everybody learns that in some form or another. One mistake leads to you going, okay, that'll never happen again. I'm covering my tail the next time.
And you right.
Hey everyone, thanks for sticking with us. Before we dive into our next topic, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you to like this video, subscribe to our channel, and hit that notification bell. That way, you'll always be the first to know when a new episode drops. And we want to hear from you. What topics are you most excited about? Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Your feedback helps us create content that you love. We've got some exciting stuff coming your way, so don't miss out. Now, let's switch gears and jump into our next discussion.
We're going to talk about the reality of entrepreneurship and what no one tells you. So I have my business that I have, and it's been going great for, what, 8 years-ish. And it's kind of changed and morphed, and I have had the same amount of stuff, but I've gained new information, and it's morphed into different shapes of animals or whatever, right? So when I first started out, I was just helping somebody as like a personal assistant with a roofing company. They were working for somebody else, and I just kind of helped. Then him and his sons went out in their own business, and I was working for both of them. And so I changed from just being a personal assistant to being like an office manager, where I took care of the day-to-day for both companies. The one guy decided to semi-retire from roofing, and so that company dropped off, and I was just working for the sons. And then they decided that the family was all they wanted to have working for them in the trusted position. So I was let go. But at the same time, I started picking up people, helping them with social media and different things. Because I have been so malleable and kind of gone with the flow, my business has not, as of yet, been in any kind of danger of going under, because I just start doing something else and I get more people to help. I don't look at it as I work for anybody. I help people and they pay me too. That's enough to actually pay bills, sometimes not. But I have a pretty steady income coming in.
Right.
One of the things when you're working for yourself, if you're not malleable, or if you don't have I'm the jack of all trades, right?
Right.
I know how to do a lot of different things, so I can keep my thumbs in a lot of different pies, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are a one trick pony. They know how to do one thing.
Right.
And if that one thing all of a sudden isn't bringing in the clients anymore, then their business fails because it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people grow. Like, I am willing to grow and hire people to be working with me, but I know that I have to be at a certain point before I do that. Some people grow too soon, too fast, and too big, and the company kind of folds in on itself because the structure's not where it needs to be. Well, failure is common among entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
If you have the skill set and the knowledge, you would hope that everything you touch would be the Midas touch, right? You're always going to get gold if you touch something.
Right.
That's not necessarily true. And you could be the smartest person on the planet and have the best idea. If you take the wrong steps at the wrong time, or even if you take the right steps at the wrong time, then your company could fold.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got the stock market and what it's doing. And if your company's on the stock market, that can end up making you fold as well.
Right.
Another thing is the financial instability. I had a client of mine decide towards the end of last year that she had some stuff going on, and she only talked to me once a week. So she was just going to cancel my services until she was ready to pick them back up. The only problem with that is you're not paying for the 1 hour conversation I have with you a week. You're paying for the newsletter I'm putting out, the reports I'm pulling in order to be able to make sure all of your people are getting that newsletter. There's steps to it that maybe you don't see, but I still have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be able to do a newsletter and get it out in an hour, where you, if you were trying to do it, wouldn't have the same success. Does that make sense?
Right, yes.
So you're paying for my experience. And okay, so let's just say that I'm an expert builder, right? I'm an expert. I know exactly how to build a house. I really, really don't. But let's just say I did, okay? And it takes me, on average, a month to build a house. Where it takes somebody else upwards of 6 months to make a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're still paying the same amount for your house when right. I do it than if somebody else did it and took 6 months, but you're getting it sooner, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean what I did was bad or shoddy or I used the wrong materials. It just means that I have gotten my systems in place to be able to give you the turnaround, in this case, a house, in a month instead of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you may pay more, actually, for the person who can do it in a month because of their experience and the knowledge and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is supposed to make people understand that if me, myself, I go out and I put in, you know, I put a newsletter together for you, you're not just paying for the fact that I sent out the newsletter. You're paying for the fact that I updated your contact list to make sure that everybody new is getting the newsletter. I created that newsletter with mm-hmm. words and stuff that were either my own or from apps that I'm using. But so you're not just paying for the 5 minutes it takes me to actually do it, but the knowledge and the comfortableness, I guess, to where I know how to do that in that amount of time.
Right.
So there's that. Another drawback to being an entrepreneur is the work-life balance tends to go out the window.
Right.
I can sit here and say all day long, I have a great balance. I know. No, I have friends who I game with because I'm a big gamer. So I have friends that I game with who are like, you're never around anymore because some weeks I am a ghost mm-hmm. that only shows up Saturday night
yeah.
to do the big group stuff instead of any other night to do help anybody singularly.
Right.
Because some days you have 50 things to do and they have to be done and handed to your clients before 9 o'clock the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have it and they can make their choices as to whether that's what they want or not.
Right.
So you can have work-life balance, but at certain points, because I do have it, but at certain points you're so busy because it's just you that you end up with no work-life balance mm-hmm. and you're on the computer and you're like, okay, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, and you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then you get up and you're right back in the seat with your morning cup of coffee trying to figure out how you're going to make this work the next morning.
Right.
Then mental health comes into it because you're doing it all yourself. It can get very overwhelming. It can be very lonely.
Yes.
Because especially if you work as an entrepreneur, if you're just by yourself, if you're in that beginning stage where you're only yourself and your clients are there, yeah, but there's nobody helping you with the load, that can get very lonely. Mm-hmm. And then you have family. Well, you're never around anymore.
Right.
Or you come out of your room and everybody's like, oh, look who decided to join us.
Show up. Yep.
You have to be in a place mentally where you can survive that.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. It's not. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's not easy because you have to figure out what you have to do.
Right.
Because I can say, I will tell, you know, I shut everything down except for my gaming and go game.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at a point where I can't do anything else, that's what I do. And I have done it because it's something I enjoy doing. But if you, let's say you did it,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be playing a game?
Probably not.
You'd probably be rewriting a book or doing something different, right? Because we all have things mm-hmm. that we do to relax. So there are a lot of pitfalls to being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it is extremely worth it, especially for me to be one, because I get to do what I like doing, which is helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid for it, which is super nice, right?
Of course. And you get to be at your own house and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm. And I get to be at home while everybody else is either fighting to stay at home or has already had to go back to the office. Mm-hmm. But I also have friends around me that make sure that I am okay. Like, I have my gamer friends who will bug me to come play a game with them. My sister meets with me once a week so that I have that person to talk to. Right. I live with a friend and teases me all the time about being in a cave.
Right.
But she's always there for me too. So if you have the right support group and you're doing things, then being an entrepreneur could be the thing you need to get out of the corporate junk.
Yeah.
Was that a mousetrap?
I have no idea.
Okay. So do you have any comments on what I've said?
I definitely do agree that it's worth it, because even as an author, now that I've put out so many books, I'm actually starting my editing business. And like, I have one person that I'm working with, and going back to like my CEO before, like I mentioned, we were friends. I actually worked on her thesis for her because I had my master's, she was doing her PhD, and I did all the editing, and I have like two people positive feedback. And it's still worth it, because in the end, once you have your testimonials, it gives you that push to go forward and get more people.
Do you have any overall comments or?
No, this was fun. I liked it, yeah.